It begins.
When you and Connie first split up, I had to be in the same position. Yeah. She was running
and going on between Connie
and Connie, what does your husband think about your relationship?
That's what we're friends, that's it.
Okay. He just wanted us to call him Captain Da. He said you could call me Da Da.
Too bad. He was such a fine, noble savage. And wasn't he?
Noble.
Wasn't he? And wasn't he? So now we've all... Yeah.
I don't understand. I don't understand.
Neither do I, think.
You take the rabbits after you eat them, and you stuff the air in them, and then you put them in the guns, you know.
You stuff the air in the rabbits?
Yeah, in the rabbits. And then the rabbits, you know, wow, man, have you ever seen the rabbits, man, flying across the freeway?
And pink noses blowing in the night.
On New Year's Eve, you know.
Heavy.
Not hitting nobody. Not even here.
Not even hitting on nobody, man. Not even begging like they do most of the time for the rabbits' fun.
Those rabbits, man, though, they are screwing up the whole park with this begging.
How is that?
Well, man. Oh, Daddy, oh, you're so crazy.
Bob?
The message is now part of and registered in your subconscious mind. Every time you say, see, hear, or think.
What about slack?
That's your key phrase. It will trigger the entire message without your being aware of it.
Yes. Dear friends, this week's show, Hour of Slack number 983, is a rerun of an ancient golden age Hour of Slack, number 373, recorded in December 1992, over 100 years ago. Actually, we have removed some of that show and replaced it with a clip from an excerpt of the Bob Larson Christian radio talk show, which featured yours, truly Reverend Ivan Stang, as a guest in May of 1998. Yes, in 1998, Bob Larson did an interview with me about the church. Coming up.
And now... The Self-Genius Hour of Slack.
A universe where anything is possible. A universe of many gods often in conflict.
When she made it with the dust, what came forth was water. Living water. Water that contained the minuscule beginnings of critters. Crawling little things. And she nurtured them. Took care of them. And interbred them. Till finally, bigger critters. Kurt, you've seen pictures in the museums and books. The dinosaurs. These were the big ones. The pterodactyls. Big bird. You've seen them?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You're on the show.
Hi. I've been, up all night, and starting to see things. Like, well, heck, you know how sometimes when there's only a little bit of light. numbers on the wall start to get wavy.
Are you smoking frog?
No, absolutely not. Just sleep deprivation.
Bones, bones. Could something be making me hallucinate me?
Nice touch. I'm a writer. And this helps me write sometimes. But I'm not writing right now. I'm trying to sleep. Not working, so I tuned into your show.
So would you like us to turn our show down? Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. It's really neat. I like it a lot. It's actually helping me to do the night.
The Subgenius Hour of Slack that you are about to listen to is specially designed only to be played on radio station...
This one.
And only in the city of...
Right around here.
Should any other shows be heard from or contacted in the course of this show, the listener is advised to remain calm and only contact listed or unlisted officials in the event of any material from this radio or other listening device being inhaled during broadcast. Small animals or other children becoming exposed to the ultra-high or ultra-low shocks and brain frequencies constantly scanned throughout our program should seek shelter in an approved safety unit only. This is Walter Teasdale reminding you that it's often a photon that light releases, but truth is, not everyone gets the picture.
The happy little hunters came in snowing and they smelled bad.
Yes, yes, yes.
We are the brain free seven. Self-indulgent is a matter of taste. We're a living, breathing example that a brain is a terrible thing to waste. We are brain free.
Record a high temperatures in the region aggravated the
situation. Inexplicably bursting into flames, according to baffled doctors and the lad's frustrated mother. Little Tong Tang Jiang has burned his way through numerous sets of underwear as doctors try to contain the spontaneous combustion of the little tot, which occurs as often as twice an hour. So far, the incendiary infant has set fire to a couch, ruined a bed mattress, the opposite of bedwetting, and narrowly missed setting his grandmother on fire when she got too close. Everyone is terrified to go near him.
All right.
For Goofball Radio, this is Ralph Fielding Snell.
Unlike tonight.
Yeah, okay. Now, we're talking to Granny now about the birth of the little boy.
Yeah. See if you can get anything out of her. I couldn't.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You know, I think we just had a bulletin in from the subgenius something or other. It's
well,
the
that
sad
laughing
show.
Gas again. It's a very sad moment here on
Come
the show.
Come on.
Oh, sorry, I put these feathers away.
I should be crying, and you're making me laugh.
Sad moment here on the show. We don't like to make fun of things, but of course... Pregnant man, or...
Hi, this is Luana. Anybody call for me?
Were the awesome megaliths of Europe erected on Earth energy centers known long ago, but since forgotten?
I forgot. Where were you, Hal? I forgot.
Why do powerful magnetic fields and ultrasound continue to be recorded near them?
One in five German motorists actually enjoys being stuck in a traffic jam, according to a survey in the Hamburg-based BAT Leisure Research Institute.
Can we ever decode the hidden meaning of Ohio's Great Serpent Mound? Why have the pictures of Pahoofistan been etched?
The opening lines, in a sense, misleading. Last week, in another part of the city, a human head turned up. It no longer owned a body, sealed in a plastic bag and swaddled tightly in cloth. It was being used by some boys for a football. Doesn't it make you tense right up?
What ancient wisdom remains locked inside the seventh wonder of antiquity, the Great Pyramid of Egypt? Is it a mammoth tomb? If so, why has no mummified mammoth ever been found within its walls?
The leaders of the superpowers of the world gathered at the United Nations in heated conflict
And as they were about to walk away from the table, everyone in anger, and launch a full-scale nuclear war, a spacecraft appeared in the skies, and an alien beamed down into the middle of the General Assembly of the United Nations. And he said, you know, we have planted you folks here on this Earth millions of years ago. We've let you evolve. We've waited for you to reach the space age as you're reaching today, and you're on the verge of destroying each other. Something has gone wrong. And we are going to come back and show you how to take this next step in your evolution and start a new age on this earth.
Like everything said, the popular story goes, because they overfed themselves. Believe it or not, it doesn't make any difference. She was out to get a critter with the appendages. Finally, have evolved over the centuries, a critter with the appendages that can carry out her will. A will that's demanding that the critter be able to build and manipulate the extension of the brain, the knowledge center, which she instilled in the water, the initial living water.
People have invited since the world began. You see, it's perfectly all right. Who cares about life and death issues in the real world? We demand our human rights. We are breeding free. This here is insanity.
Goodbye. Thank you, sir. Goodbye, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir.
Squeal.
Yes, dear friends. I guess I should make some personal contact with you real quick and let you know that you've been listening to so many different Subgenius tape contributions. We have so many for you here. Going backwards in time, let's see, the music, Brain Free 7 by John Bartels, more John Bartels coming up, also known as Joe Schmo, that amazing stuff about she who evolved the critter to build the pipe, we still don't know, friends. Some KPFA news from Dr. Howell and Puzzling Evidence. Puzzling Evidence and Dr. Howell show. There's more of that coming up. Of course, Bleepo Abernathy is our official announcer. You heard some KHSU shows, bits there from the caller who was seeing things. And little bits of Media Barrage by Reverend Nick Nolan. Some really rare Fire Sign Theater, which will also pop up again. And some Joe Newman, of course, which and So-So Dada on sound effects. Even Dave Flugelwitz on sound effects. But friends, I have an announcement to make. Yes, and this is not...
Oh! Watch what you say to me.
That was very heavy sound effects. You know, the United Nations right now is meeting trying to limit the use of violent sound effects.
You got a big nose.
You know, I think KPFA should be a little more serious. I wake up in the morning and I turn you on. I'm an original subscriber, and you're disrespectful of your listeners.
In what way?
You know, I'm quite serious about this.
Well, which listener are we not respectful of, properly speaking?
Well, if you wake up in the morning and you come into the station... You should listen. Your readers to your listeners should be intelligent.
No, we
you
can't
don't
affect
sound
that.
Intelligent.
Our listeners should be intelligent. We can't affect their intelligence level.
You could try.
Well, how? Will we teach them
you
parables?
You could try by being intelligent yourself.
Well, we attempt to educate them, but they just won't learn.
You don't seem to be talking about anything serious like understanding, like consideration, education,
this
stuff
is a peaceful
like that.
Situation.
No, I don't think it's peaceful. I think it's silly.
It's not warlike. What do you complain
warlike.
About silliness?
It's
what about the laugh,
ridiculous.
The ecstatic laugh in the fields of the Lord, rolling in the fields of understanding and peace?
Silly.
Well, do you want us to be unnaturally grave, glum, solemn, gloomy, long-faced,
slant,
jawed?
Honey, you're not even funny.
Honey, we're not funny.
Well, we're funny looking, and that's worth something.
Why don't you try to develop a little humor?
Well, are we acneous or vitreous humor? We'll try to grow a lump for you, if that's your idea.
But you are not humorous. You are silly. You are tickly.
Well, I'm sure that some of our callers may agree with what this caller has to say, and naturally, like
That's
all such complaints,
like
we'll file it in the memory hall.
People
and,
like Chris and Phillips, for instance, is that they're very serious.
You know, I know Prince Philip personally. We go golfing together, and I go water skiing with his lovely wife. It's time to get personal.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
What inspires you to attempt to modify
I used to work at KPFA, and I'm 72 now, and I have 5 children. And
well, I hope they're listening to our program,
the
too.
The thing that impresses me about you young people in the morning is
what makes
that
you think we're young
you're so
people.
Frightened is that you're silly.
Well, but we're actually old as the hills. We're not young. she just couldn't take the blinding truth.
I have waited so long for such a call.
I must say, it's pretty low when people call up and pretend to be old when they're actually young whippersnappers and spring chickens. They can't fool old grandpappy.
Does that sound kind of foolish to you?
You know, you're not funny, and you're not serious, and you're just silly. I'm sorry, honey, you're just silly.
But here's the point.
I work on, at it.
You know, the thing I've noticed about you young people is that you're silly.
Oh, come on. We're serious.
Silly.
This is an absolutely serious show. You can't tell that.
No, you're from Sirius, not Alpha Centauri like most people think.
A mysterious object from the depths of space.
We don't make any jokes. We don't ever make fun of things.
I'm 106 years old now. I've got 25 great-grandchildren.
Hey, didn't you accidentally cut off your head?
Oh, no.
You're not
no.
funny and you're not serious.
Oh, no.
What is Pete and what is funny and what is serious?
You make perfect sense to me.
Shang.
I'm a hypocrite. I ask for sincerity and I lie. I denounce the system as I embrace it. I want money and power and prestige. I want ratings and success. I don't give a damn about you or the world. That's the truth. For this, I could say I'm sorry, but I won't.
Why should I? I mean, who the hell are you anyways, you audience? You're on me every night like a pack of wolves because I can't stand facing what you are and what you've made. Yes, the world is a terrible place. Yes, cancer and garbage disposals will get you. Yes, a war is coming. Yes, the world is shot to hell and you're all goners. Everything's screwed up and you like it that way, don't you? You're fascinated by the gory details. You're mesmerized by your own fear. You revel in floods, car accidents, unstoppable diseases. The happiest wonders are pain. That's where I come in, isn't it? I'm here to lead you by the hand through the dark forest of your own hatred and anger and humiliation. I'm providing a public service. You're so scared. You're like a little child under the covers. You're afraid of the boogeyman, but you can't live without him.
Your fear, your own lives have become your entertainment. Next month, millions of people are going to be listening to this show, and you have nothing to talk about. Marvelous technology is at our disposal. Instead of reaching up to new heights, you're going to see how far down we can go. How deep into the muck we can immerse ourselves. What do you want to talk about, Baseball scores. Your pet. Orgasms. I despise each and every one of you. You did nothing. Absolutely nothing. No brains. No power. No future. No hope.
No God.
The only thing you believe in is me. What are you? You don't have me. I'm not afraid, see? I come in every night, I make my case, I make my point, I say what I believe in. I tell you what you are. I have to, I have no choice. You frighten me. I come in every night, I tear into you, I abuse you, I insult you, and just keep going back for more. What's wrong with you? Why do you keep calling? I don't want to hear anymore. Stop talking. Go away. Yellow-bellied, spineless, bigoted, quivering, drunken, insomniatic, paranoid, disgusting, perverted, voyeuristic little obscene phone callers. What the char? Well, the hell with you. I don't need your fear and your stupidity. You don't get it. It's wasted on you. What swine.
So sad, so fresh, the days that are no more. Tears, idle tears, I know not what they mean. Tears from the depths of some divine despair.
James
rise
Whittison,
from the heart
of
and
Newark,
squirt
not
right out the
out of
eyes.
Work for 5 months,
when looking
told
on
his
the happy
neighbors
autumn
that he
fields,
was depressed
and thinking
and could
of the
not
days
stop
that
shivering.
Are no more.
2 days later, he killed himself by hammering 2 5-inch nails into his
fresh as a sunbeam glittering on the sail that brings our friends up from the underworld.
Here they come, Al.
Sad as the one that trembles on the verge before it sucks them all back down
take
again.
Take those nails away while he's trembling there. I think that's a bad deal.
So sad, so fresh, the days that are no more. Brain-burned hours as in dark summer dawns, the earliest pipe of half-awakened birds, which see to dying eyes a dying show, which in the listener's ear doth fade and fade. So sad, so fresh, the shows that are no more.
So how goes the show?
Well, it wanders mooing throughout the pastures, up the hillsides, across the meadows, over the still stream, up the hillsides now. It is buried deep in the next valley glade.
Oh, spooky!
Jim Jones, rocket party.
That's right.
Yes, that's right. You see, we trap deuterium in the form of a plasma. It's an ionized gas, and confine it within a powerful magnetic field right here in the studio. The gas is then heated by bombarding it with energy. Now, when we get the temperature of this plasma up to at least 50 million degrees Celsius, this process becomes self-sustaining, and the energy of the emitted neutrons can be captured as heat, and in turn we use that to power our vehicle.
911 instructions that are included in the warhead.
Yes, the itchiness of the scratchiness and the witchness of the whatness. Because
I'm
with all
a major heart attack right now. I'm going to call 911. Excuse me.
Oh, no. Wait a moment.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's all in the mind, you know.
Oh. We are the Living Free Seven. We are living free channel. And the brain is a terrible thing to waste.
think space and time are everything, all encompassing. But whether or not you think it or not, does it matter? What is the reality? To discover the reality of anything, we have to find out certain facts. And the most important fact in any scheme is to find out what the end result of the scheme is.
Something is trying to get through to us.
Person out there have any idea of what I'm talking about?
Your mind. It is the center of your life. It is everything you hear. Everything you see, everything you feel, it is everything you are. How would you know if someone stole your mind?
Well, that's pretty sad, and as long as we're listening to this music, we're going to be sad. And this next story is sadder still, because instead of vacationing in the Florida sun this winter, Steve Weiner spent his days in court listening to a hellish tale of decaying animal carcasses, open graves, and odious smells. Weiner, 32, a New York City policeman, had spent $3,500 to bury his two beagles, Billy and Bert, at the Long Island Pet Cemetery. He was one of about 20 Pet Cemetery customers who listened in court last week as witnesses described what was found when police raided the decaying tombs of the disgustingly charnel cemetery.
Now look at Hal. He's growing larger than life size now. See, that's a show effect.
Tens of thousands of dead animals brought to the cemetery were dumped into mass graves, stored in walk-in freezers, and burned en masse in a large crematorium after their owners had paid hundreds, sometimes thousands of dollars to have their pets buried with dignity. What would you do, caller? What would you do? Suppose that the little pet, the friend of your bosom that you had all these times, was taken and thrown into a pit like vermin. What would you do? What would you do?
Oh, it feels good. Fly around, little caller. Wee. And the music would get louder and louder and louder, and you'd feel like you'd have a cold in you.
Well, that was our night, dear friends, at the Bob Larson Ministries Devival, actually. We went to a Bob Larson revival. I taped it, couldn't get hardly any kind of a decent tape off of it, but I did get to be on his show, and here it is.
That turning point through the daily in-depth study of God's Word.
We are quickly lining up. We want to see you. We want to help you, and I want you not to miss Dallas tomorrow night. Please put it on your calendar. Get there. Be there. It's going to be a night unlike any that city has ever seen, and Dallas had seen some pretty strange things. So don't miss it for anything. And speaking of some pretty strange things, before I get to the rest of you callers out there at 1-800-821-TALK, we've got some publicity seekers out there. They are a strange bunch. Maybe someday we'll do a larger show on them, but I wanted to talk to them briefly because some of them plan to be there tomorrow night. Yes, I am aware of them. I have been sent their literature through the years and have never really talked to one of these particular people. But some of you may be aware of the Church of the Subgenius and their god, Bob. At least they have good taste, tongue in cheek. And I've got one of their representatives on the line with me right now, direct from Dallas. Ivan Stang. Ivan!
Bob, at long last.
You are the current church leader of the Church of the Subgenius.
Well, I just work here, Bob. I'm working for Mr. Dobbs.
Bob Dobbs.
Right, Bob Dobbs. I'll tell you, I am so glad to finally be on your show. I've been listening for years.
Years?
Well, especially around Halloween. I love your Halloween shows.
Now, how have I managed to fail by not getting through your thick head after all these years to get you from Bob to God?
Oh, you... Bob, you have saved me so many times. I have converted over to Christianity almost every time I ever listen to your show.
And then go back.
Well, we believe in the short-duration personal savior phenomenon. Bob Dobbs himself considers himself a short-duration personal savior.
Now, come on. Now, you people have really had 10,000 people ante up $30 a piece to join this internet religion, this religion of the quickie printer, tabloid-style, cigar-smoking, pipe-smoking God who will come to Earth soon to take everybody away in pleasure saucers? You've really gotten people to pay $30 a piece?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we've sold about 100,000 copies of our books.
Okay, so what...
We've been around for 20 years.
Now, in a nutshell, for the people out there who've never heard of this sort of thing before, you are what?
Well, the Church of the Subgenius is a religion that Bob started specifically to help the mutants, the misfits, the disbelievers, and also those who would believe anything in our fight against the conspiracy of the normal people. And
but you're definitely not normal. Nobody's going to ever accuse you of that.
Well, in that respect, I think we probably have a lot in common, Bob.
All right, touche. You believe that the world is due for demolition on July the 5th, 1998 at 7 a.m.
Praise Bob, that is correct. 52 days from now.
And if it doesn't happen?
What kind of a question is that? I mean, you think we're going to end up looking ridiculous like those poor little religious nuts here in Garland, right around the corner from me? Remember the... God's Salvation Church.
Yeah, the Taiwanese folks.
Yeah, they happen to just be very, very nearby. I went over there and gave them my $30 just in case. You know, we've been telling people to have faith in Bob. I figured might as well practice what I preached for once.
Now, you say it's in your literature, you say it's not too late to be saved. All you have to do is send $30 to Bob. And I want folks to understand, this is not Bob Larson. This is Bob Dobbs the God.
Bob Dobbs is probably a lot cheaper for salvation than you are, Bob.
And you get eternal salvation or triple your money back.
It's not a bad deal now, is it?
Well, how do you know if you don't get it to get your money back?
Well, I guess you'll have to cross that bridge when you come to it.
Now,
let me put it this way. If you end up in hell as a result of investing $30 in Bob Dobbs Church, he will meet you at the gates of hell with a check for $90. And a little booklet called How to Enjoy Hell for 5 Cents a Day. It's $89.95, I think.
Now, other than having a good laugh and creating something out of minds that otherwise would be wasted on something probably even worse than this, what are you people up to?
Well, basically, Bob, we've declared war on God. Now, I know that sounds... I mean, that's kind of taking on a big job. We've been pulling God's leg for a long time, and that's a very large leg to pull. It takes a lot of nerve, and you damn well better be funny if you're going to do it. But we have gotten so sick and tired of this invisible monster that everybody keeps talking about that is so weak and pathetic that it has to be defended by illiterate little old ladies and rednecks against jerks like me. Now, what kind of a God is that? We're just sick and tired of putting up with it. This thing's been, you know, allowing starvation and hunger and all this stuff all over the world. We've just had enough. They've been telling us for years we were going to go to hell. What else could we do but start our own religion?
Are you guys going to be there tomorrow night?
I wouldn't miss it for the world. Now, we don't plan any kind of disruptions. We're generally very polite folks.
Well, you're going to see God tomorrow night. You're going to see God in action. You're going to see the supernatural like you've never seen it before. Then what?
Well, if I'm impressed, I'm sure I'll convert.
And put $30 in the offering.
A lot of chances, and I've worshipped many, many gods and demons. But you know, I always end up coming back to old Bob Dobbs.
Now there are people out there who probably think You are some secret friend of mine that I just put up to this for comic relief. I don't know. You haven't mentioned. You people contacted me this week and said, oh, by the way, since Bob's coming to Dallas, maybe he'd like to talk to us.
Oh, yeah. Well, we happen to have been, you know, because our end of the world is coming up very soon, we've been on kind of a big PR blitz. And I'll tell you what, Bob, it is a big relief for me to talk to somebody with even the slightest bit of sense, because mostly I've been on the radio with drive-time rock, classic rock jocks, which is the lowest form of life on Earth.
And I absolutely agree.
Talking to a fellow religious nut than one of these normals, if you don't mind, you know, present company excluded.
Yeah, I have Richard on the line. Richard, you called in a second ago to ask a question about this guy. What's your question, Richard?
Yeah, I wanted to know if this kind of thing was serious. I'm...
Oh, friends. Oh, man. I forgot how funny all that stuff was. This guy called in who... Well, but he was actually the guy from the alt.fan.bob-larson news group, which is not really a Bob Larson fan club. They actually kind of make fun of the guy and so forth. And this anti-Bob Larson guy called up and said, Reverend Stang, what are you doing on the air with this adulterous radio preacher? And I knew what he was talking about. Bob Larson has had some problems in that respect, much like our current acting president. You know, would some guys just have these organs, I'm sorry, you know. And I jumped in and said, you must be talking about me. I'm sure you're not talking about Bob Larson and the caller. Said, well, basically they censored him and it was totally, completely removed from all human reality. Oh, but check out what Larson tuned in as he faded back in after the censored out stuff. He fades back in going, well, you know, I've got a lot more nuts calling me than you have in your whole religion. And you know, friends, he's right. It's kind of a sad commentary, isn't it?
I've got more nutcases who listen to me than follow you. And we're not going to glorify these idiots out there and jerks who try to take advantage of religious fanatics like you to attack sane people like me. But Ivan, I want to know, in all seriousness, how many people belong to your religion? It's just you and a couple of buddies. Where do you get the figure of 10,000?
No, we, Bob, quite seriously, we have four books that have been published by Simon & Schuster, the first one being Book of the Subgenius. It's still in print. About 100,000 copies is sold. I've printed, 60 or 70,000 copies of our little pamphlet, our equivalent of one of those chick comics. And we have had at least 10,000 members sign up over, I mean, we've been around for 15 years. Bob predicted that there would be millions of them and that we would have taken over the world by now, but I think the conspiracy read Bob's prophecies, too, and prophecy heeded is prophecy fulfilled.
Are the sacred scribe of the church.
Well, I'm the guy who has to do a lot of the dirty work, yeah. I assign the sacrifices and that kind of thing.
All right, well, I tell you what, one of these days we're going to get you back and talk a little longer. I would suggest, however, beware those little old illiterate ladies, as you referred to them a moment ago, because there are some godly women of the Lord who deeply resent what you just said, and they are going to kick your spiritual butt with the power of prayer if you show up on Friday night, so beware. Those people that you denigrate have got more spiritual power and common eternal horse sense in their little finger than you've got in a lifetime of pursuing illicit religions. And they're ready to take you on, and they're ready to pray you into the kingdom. So I say, prayer warriors, my friends in Dallas, be there. As you can see, it's going to be an interesting evening. I got David on the line. Hello, David. Let's go from the ridiculous to the sublime. David!
There are so many logical and thoroughly possible ways in which the entire tribe of mankind could be wiped off the earth at any moment.
Dave, why don't you knock on that trap door there and say Yog Sothoth off 3 times? Go ahead, do it, man.
Okay. Yog Sothoth. Yog Sothoth.
No, I'm not going to say it the third time, because you know I won't get one eye.
Well, I didn't think I would pick that.
That's right. I know your tricks. Last time I did that, I had bad luck for 10 years, man. That's where...
You old mean Mr. Tooth Decay.
That's right. Yeah. And then ultimately, that was because of your truth decay.
When one stops to think what a tiny little grain of sand this haughty world of ours actually is in the dark sea of space, the spectacle of man's inhumanity to man becomes a cosmic joke.
What's instinct to a dog?
To run, to hunt with the pack, to kill, master.
Dark, shriveled.
Okay, shriveled now you're dark and shrivelly like a little spider on a hot skillet.
Horrible shriveled spider.
That's right.
See, it always comes back to spiders.
They always come back. Flash. 1 minute connection. When we were smaller than the spider.
That's right.
Up the ladder and crawl.
Reverend Hal and myself crawling up the sides of the flowers, looking out for spiders because they were bigger than we were.
You'll remember it differently from I did. There were no flowers at this early time in our Earth's history.
Sure looked like flowers to me in those days.
They had broad leaves, but they were actually gigantic.
A burst of color up near the sky. And a little collar all alone out there in the cold.
That's a little collar, not a little color, since most of everything was green and brown. The color that we associate with flowers didn't arise until the Cretaceous period ended, approximately 65 million years before the present era. Then, grasses and flowering plants made their appearance in the Cenozoic world. The common bee, which appeared during the Cretaceous era, managed to organize and pollinate the plants, causing the flowering of the flowers. The world was taken over by huge, gorgeous blossoms. But the flowers of this early prehistoric time were far more glorious in their first effulgence than the decayed and senile blossoms and plants of today. Yes, horrible horticultural facts.
On the eyeballs,
farther and farther, like the eyeballs of a decaying mummy, into the mysterious, infinite vagueness of the future.
Here we go now, into the mysterious, vague future history of Bob Jones. Now, Reverend Hal gives you a guide of how to find out about the future when it happens to you.
Here we go. Yes, we're hurtling into the future at 60 seconds per minute.
Wow. Now, bigger jaw.
Now, let's go over that again. You say you saw some sort of future.
The little collar looks like a firefly, doesn't he, as he glows inside the jar here?
Well, the reason he is highly glows that way, it's a powerful sexual attractor.
And a nice little
opposite sex, of this little collar. Yes, these little collars mate by eliminating the fluid which causes bioluminescence, or the phenomenon of a little collar's hiney blinking in the dark.
Stop it.
Let's have that close-up now. Wow. Look at it. It's scintillating.
Collar's insect-like round eyes, which they could see the movement of the sun if they cared to.
Yeah, but they don't.
So we don't either.
They spend their time burrowing through the muck.
Out of this jar.
Well, don't forget it, fella. We gave you some air holes.
And a little flashlight. And some food that'll last you, the size of an insect, over 1 month in your time. Oh, hi. Okay, there we go.
Even got your little
Bob Nelson's here to entertain you. Good morning.
Oh, no, that old man's trying to kill 11 minutes left.
Bad show.
Here tonight in the studio.
Yeah.
Crowded in here.
What?
All right, now, what's your beat, caller?
And we'll just play piano.
I'd like to dedicate this next song to all of you who are out there listening to the show. And
on the show.
It's being spooky, with us tonight here.
It's pooty.
It's almost 6 o'clock, but we still have a little fun and good cheer to go around.
We're still trying to find out where the fun and good
And we're going to see the night out with you, our audience.
That's right.
He's trying to get through to us. Something is trying to communicate with the consciousness of mankind. And he says it appears to be space aliens. But Straubner also points out, he says, it's funny, in almost every instance of people contacting UFOs, there's a heavy occult involvement as well. These people have been involved in New Age techniques and therapies.
You say you can throw dude out the window and Shintoism?
No, you don't. Because these were way showers as they came by at a certain time or periods of our time to show us the light back to God. But what they're telling us, the Space Brothers, don't put too much of your energy in letting somebody else show you the way. You should be in direct contact with God, since we are all part of that God creation.
And you're saying, like, Christ is just like somebody that is, like, showing us the way to this God?
Well, he was a way shower, too. His real name was Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
Well, look at your Bible, Matthew 1, verse 22.
Right.
And if you have, depending on what version of the Bible that you have, verse 23 and 24 will tell you a different person gave him the name Jesus. He was really named Jesus, which meant the Anointed One, by Saul of Tarsus 300 years after he left the Middle East, after he went through the crucifixion.
So you actually do prescribe to the Bible there?
No, I say parts of the Bible are correct, not all of it.
Okay, we're talking to George Green. Some wild things tonight. He's talking about UFO, and much more than just UFOs and UFO sightings. He's really got theories about how this whole world runs and who's making it run, the Committee of 300 and so on and so forth.
Okay, first of all right, this is the way, I'm a believer, all right? Okay, first of all, I'm from Vancouver. I was in Cypress Park last year. I saw an alien crash land.
What, were you on acid, Alex?
No, this is truth, I'm telling you, all right?
Sad. The tape runs out so suddenly there. Beautiful song called, I don't know what it's called, but it's from Cloaking Device, Ultimate Klingons, Reverend Nancy Darnell there in Germany. She's like the Grace Slick of the Church of the Subgenius. Ultimate Klingons. Before that, some clips, media barrage clips put together by Reverend Nick Nolan about the Space Brothers. A little bit more music by who was it that I ran? Oh, John Bartles, yeah. And John Bartles, wonderful sort of cantankerous singer, songwriter in Springwater, New York, I believe it is. And, dear friends, lots of KPFA Subgenius radio show from the California radio show with Dr. Howell and Puzzling Evidence. Oh, I should mention that some of the tapes that we're playing in the background, including the music that's in the background right now, is by Reverend Arnold Mathis. Arnold Mathis stuff. And some of that KPFA material and some other material we're playing tonight is from the KPFA fan, Reverend Phineas Narco, who did a compilation of the a sort of a best of the KPFA show, which he sells. And some of the recording quality is kind of tinny because it's been copied several times, but I think Phineas Narco has done a pretty good editing job, really an excellent editing job if you consider how difficult it is to edit those guys' show. Not like this show, of course. This show's really... and what else? Yeah, that's about it. Now, I do have a whole nother show's worth of tape that I put together last night that I could play, but I won't, because I think it's very important. It's still near Christmas now, and some of you need... Well, you have to hear Brain Rot Theater's Rudolf Hitler tape. Although I did want to mention one thing. Well, two things. Number one, you're listening to the Subgenius Radio Ministry Hour of Slack, the voice of the Church of the Subgenius here in Dallas, Texas. And we do have this show coming up, a massive Subgenius revival or devival, as the case may be. New Year's night, inaugurating the year 5BX. And we had some listeners call from Fort Worth who had a good idea, a real good idea. You know, we always do short duration mass marriages at our revivals towards the end so that those who aren't married can do whatever sort of guilty sex acts that they can think of, completely absolved and sanctified during that duration of that short duration marriage, usually 24 hours. Well, this couple in Fort Worth suggested that we ought to do a mass short duration divorce first, because several people, them for instance, are already married. But they want to go fornicate with other people that New Year's night at the Subgenius show at Club No. And they don't feel like they can unless they have a short duration divorce first, which, of course, only lasts as long as those short-duration marriages will, too. So they're going to be looking for other people to marry, friend. And if that serves as any sort of inducement, I'm glad, because I have a feeling we've been getting call after call from young folks going, come on, it's not really only 21 and over, is it? I'm afraid it is. They serve drugs at this club, no, alcohol, well, it's probably the strongest drug next to crack. I'm sure crack will be legalized next. They'll never, ever get around to frop, because the frop users just aren't that desperate, you know? So, friends, really, if you were thinking, well, I don't, it's going to be too crowded down there, I don't want to go down there on New Year's, it's going to be too crowded, I have a feeling it's not going to be too crowded. Okay? And not only that, it's... well, we need the support. We need the show of support, dear friends. Anyway, enough of that. Once again, you are listening to the Subgenius Radio Ministry Hour of Slack. If you need more information on the Church of the Subgenius for free. Just for free. Go ahead. See, let me put a challenge to you. See if you can not only write that postcard, but address it and put a stamp on it and get it into the mail. I'm amazed how few people are even able to do that much for such a wonderful giant pack. Well, it's pretty pathetic pack of free information, but it tells you how to get a really good pack for almost free information. That, write to Bob, just Bob, or Hour of Slack, or Subgenius. The post office knows all our names. At Post Office Box
181417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118.
I'll give that number again. That's Box
181417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118.
Oh, yes, dear friend.
And friends, we're also coming up on Hour of Slack number 1000. And for that show, I thought we'd do a Comments from Listeners special. So think about it and send me a typed or recorded paper or email, tapes or CDs or MP3 or written, 1 minute or less, that's the important part, about what you think of Hour of Slack in general. Or the weirdest thing you ever heard on it, or a special weird personal story you have concerning it, or how you first heard it, or what you hate about it, or whatever is interesting that you can say in a minute. Give your name at the beginning, a third of a page, which we can read aloud, or a minute of audio about the Hour of Slack that we can play on Hour of Slack number 1000. Email Stang at subgenius.com, or use our Cleveland Post Office Box 181417 in Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118, or see subgenius.com. You could also phone it in to our toll-free number 1-888-669-2323. That's 1-888-669-2323. It does not make good recordings, so speak clearly. Friends, this is the Amino Acids playing in the background, and they will be playing at the D5 in Detroit on March 19th at the Magic Stick, along with Man and the LSDudes. And yours truly, and Reverend Carter LeBlanc. On May 7th, outside Austin at a strange Wickabilly campground, Tex Day. And then July 5th, of course, X Day at Brushwood in far western New York. And a new one, August 17th through 21st, we'll see you at Cytopia in Jamaica. Praise Bob.
I got 3 legs of laying and 3 sparks of spring as my brain splumed out into the Abercron Nova somewhere in the middle of the signal storm. I got one of those little red race cars that have a big antenna on the back. And control with a little UV dot generator. I mean, a little a microviolet generator. And was removed and sent to me from a friend of mine who's working in Kenya at a reserve there, and he said, what the hell, these things are not endangered, so why not just go and take a big chainsaw and lop off one of the feet and send it to old Lonesome Cowboy Dave back in Cleveland, where he's still trying to get to me. You're right. Okay, and I'm smoking the snot. These are rubber.